Have you ever heard the expression, "Those were the good old days"? Well, they were good old days for a lot of us. But what about good old-fashioned sermons? Well, it seems to me that good old-fashioned sermons were distinctive and easy for all who are accountable unto God to understand. And since so many people, sad to say, have the false idea that just being a good or kind person is enough to save them, it's necessary to preach sermons which are distinct, understandable, and prove that that's just not the case. And so hopefully today's sermon will be a good old-fashioned sermon, as we want to study Matthew 7, 13 and 14 and other passages in God's Word. And we'll begin our study entitled, "There's No Middle Between the Following," in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE. Yes, Preparing for Eternity. What we all should be doing is just exactly that. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. Thus, that would be following John 4:24 in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else we want to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we'll sit down together at your convenience and study God's precious Word to find out what would God have me to do in order to become a child of God, to become a New Testament Christian, and how to live the Christian life. Yes, we would be very much looking forward to those opportunities. And we want to mention that we appreciate your Bible questions and comments as well. And also, we want to mention our address again, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning. There is no middle between the following. And we'll begin with, there is no middle inviter. It's either Jesus or it's Satan. No in between. Jesus invites us to follow him. In fact, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, we have the invitation of Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, if you contrast the burden of sin on our shoulders, carrying that weight around, and Jesus is willing to take that away if we take upon his yoke upon us. In other words, we learn of him and submit to the gospel of Christ and become a child of God. Yes, we're obeying the precious gospel of Christ to become a New Testament Christian, to become a child of God. And that yoke is easy. And that, of course, is a burden, but it's light. We're going to have to make sacrifices, putting God's will first. Now, on the other hand, we have the invitation from Satan. He's an inviter. Yes, he is. He invites us to follow him by rebelling against God. In Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5, Satan hid his identity. Yes, he took the form of the serpent and said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." In other words, Satan is saying, you don't need God. You become your own God. That's the beginning of humanism, the pride of life. Yes, this was rebelling against God, wasn't it? Satan had already done that. Now he's warning Adam and Eve to follow in his footsteps. He's an inviter. Now he goes to Eve first, you see, circumventing Adam, the head of the family. And Eve succumbed to the temptation and gave to her husband, and he did eat also. Well, notice 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And certainly he deceives as an angel of light in 1 Corinthians 11:14. He hid his identity as the serpent in Genesis 3. He attacks as a roaring lion here in 1 Peter 5:8. We need to be aware of how Satan operates and who he uses as his cohorts. Corrupt government, false religion, and worldliness. So Satan is inviting us to follow him by rebelling against God. It's either Jesus or Satan. There's no middle inviter. There's no other possibility. We cannot half follow Jesus and half follow Satan. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." So, whose invitation have we accepted? Number two, there's no middle message. It's either truth or it's false doctrine. The Word of God is truth. In John 8:31-32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's right. We need to have the truth in order to be made free from our sins and also from all the false teachings and all the false philosophies of man. John 17:17, Jesus prayed before going to the cruel cross of Calvary, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So the word of God is truth. But on the other hand, any false doctrine, any doctrine which contradicts the doctrine of Christ is false doctrine. That's right. No matter how many people believe it, that doesn't change it from being false. If it contradicts the doctrine of Christ, obviously it's false. Galatians 1:6-9, the inspired Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Christ in Galatia, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Well, that's what the inspired Apostle Paul wrote. That's the Word of God. That's the truth. 2 Peter 2:1-22. And Jude makes it clear that false doctrine, false preachers and teachers are not acceptable to God. So there's no middle message. It's either truth or false doctrine. No other possibility. We cannot have half truth and half false doctrine. Notice Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now this book, of course, is referring to the Revelation, the last book of the New Testament. But it also applies to all of God's Word. We're not to add to or take away from God's Word. So let's remember there is no middle message. Have we accepted truth, or are we holding on to false doctrine? Let's go on. Number three, there is no middle gate. It's either the narrow gate or it's the wide gate. Certainly it's clear in Matthew 7 as Jesus preached in the Sermon from the Mount, on the side of the Mount. He made it very clear, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus made it very clear that we must enter in at the straight gate. Verse 13 of Matthew 7. That would be the narrow gate, wouldn't it? What is the narrow gate? Well, that's being born again. John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So after hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of one's sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, one is then ready to be baptized into Christ by his authority. Romans 10:17, Romans 10:9-10, Romans 6:3-5, Mark 16:15-16, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:26-27, 1 Peter 3:21, every conversion in the book of Acts, they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. So one does not enter a denomination when he or she goes through the narrow gate, but is added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. Study Acts 2:36-47. You'll see that those that gladly received the word were baptized that same day, and there were added unto them the 3,000 souls that obeyed the gospel, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Verse 47, which church did he add them to? There was only one, the body, the spiritual body of Christ. In other words, the church of Christ. Now, that's the narrow gate. What about the wide gate? Well, it's every way other than being baptized into Christ and living a faithful Christian life. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that, what? Leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's the majority of the world. Few there be that enter into the straight gate. Did you notice that? Few. But here's the many. Yes, it's easy to go in that wide gate. You don't have to obey any doctrinal commands. Just believe whatever you want. Go the way you want in life. But that's going to lead to destruction. One hard to see where they're going. Well, again, there's no middle gate. It's either the narrow gate or the wide gate, no other possibility. We cannot find an in-between gate or door. Everyone will go through either the narrow gate or the wide gate. Certainly we need to know that. Mark 16:15-16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's going to be saved or being damned for eternity. We better know that we've obeyed the truth and we've gone through the straight gate. We better know that. Yes, that's for sure. Now, number four, there is no middle way. It's either light or darkness. The way of light is the straightened way, means compressed. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus said, I am the light. Yes, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 8:12 and 14:6. Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. But the way of darkness, that's the broad way, means the way of the majority of the world. As you see in Galatians 5:19-21, what do you have? The works of the flesh, that's in the darkness. Living a life of sin, just seeking one's pleasure. Well, you never get fulfilled with that kind of life. You just keep going back to the well of sin and never fulfilled. That's darkness. So there's no middle way. It's either light or darkness. To walk in the light is to be in fellowship with one another, and having the blood of Christ cleanse us from all sins. So we better know which way we're going, because there's no middle way. It's either light or darkness. No other possibility. We cannot have half light, half dark. That doesn't work. Only two ways. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Colossians 1:13. So, are we with the light by being in Christ, in his kingdom, in his church? Or are we in darkness? That is, being in our sins and without having forgiveness. That's not where we want to be, is it? Certainly not. Now, number five, let's go on. There is no middle destiny. That's right. It's either heaven or it's hell. One or the other. And everybody should know that. As heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people who choose to follow Christ by obeying his word. Notice with me John 14:1-3. As Jesus was with his disciples, preparing them for his departure. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, that is. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. So the question is, are we prepared? Remember the name of our program, Preparing for Eternity. That means something, doesn't it? That means we need to be active in doing the will of God, no matter how many others do not. Making the proper choice to serve God, to submit to His will, and then remain faithful, even if it means our very death. We'll have the victory, and we'll be where? In heaven for eternity. When the Lord comes again, we'll stand before Him on the day of judgment. When we die, we go to the Hadean realm. If we're faithful, we'll be in paradise, Abraham's bosom. If we die unfaithful in our sins, we'll be in torment, Tartarus, where the rich man went. Remember the beggar Lazarus? He went to paradise. Luke chapter 16. Well, notice Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The key here is to overcome. That's a prominent word in the Revelation as you study the last book of the Bible. That's a key word, overcome, overcometh. That's right. The Spirit speaketh expressively. You'll see that in the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Yes, the Holy Spirit spoke expressively. And we need to be overcoming the trials, tribulations, and even severe persecutions, because heaven surely will be worth it all, as we love to sing. But on the other hand, now we need to certainly mention the other destiny. There's no middle destiny. It's either heaven or hell. And so hell is the eternal destiny of punishment for the disobedient, those who choose to follow Satan instead of Christ. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Does anybody really want to go to hell? Well, you wouldn't think so, but why do so many seem to not care about their eternal destiny? It's either heaven or it's hell. There's no other possibility. We cannot spend eternity in an in-between place, half heaven or half hell. That doesn't work. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Which one? God votes for us. Satan votes against us. We, of course, decide that vote that's going to make the difference. Remember, there's no middle inviter between Jesus and Satan. There's no middle doctrine between truth and false doctrine. There's no middle gate between the narrow gate and the wide gate. There's no middle way between light and darkness. There's no middle destiny between heaven and hell, as we've just studied. And since death and judgment are a certainty, Hebrews 9:27, we must be prepared. It's urgent. It is extremely urgent for us all to love the truth, learn it, and obey it. Remember, God votes for us, Satan votes against us, and we cast that deciding vote. Now, we may not agree with how elections here on this earth turn out, but here's an election, you see, that we're going to decide. Yes, how this comes out, it's up to us. God's grace, that's certainly a vote for us, isn't it? The grace of God hath appeared unto all men. God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come unto repentance. But Satan votes against us. He doesn't want us to be in heaven. He wants us to turn against God, rebel against God, do as we want, and spend eternity with Him in hell. Now, what are we going to do in this matter? Accept God's invitation? Accept the grace of God by obeying the gospel? Or are we going to rebel against God and do as we please? It's up to us. We stand ready to assist you if you've not obeyed the gospel. We can sit down together and study more. Let's stay with the Bible. You can hear a lot of things on radio sermons, radio programs that are religious. But are they staying with the truth? Are they making it where it's understandable, distinctive preaching? If we're not doing that, we're wrong to accept it. Let's stay with God's Word and submit to it. So again, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. We have to have faith. And how's that going to come about without God's Word? It cannot. Romans 10:17. We must have a belief that Jesus is the Christ. John 8:24. We must have a faith that's certainly from the Scriptures. Hebrews 11:6. We must repent of our sins, making a change of wills. Acts 17:30. Yes, we must change our wills and do the will of God. Then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Yes, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8:37. He wanted to know what hindered him from being baptized. Well, he had to make that good confession, and then he was ready to be immersed. He and Philip both went down into the water, and he was baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, and then he went on his way rejoicing. Of course, we must be baptized to put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21. How many verses is necessary to convince someone that they need to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins? Acts 2:38, the day the church began on the first Pentecost after the Lord resurrected from the tomb and was ascended up into heaven. We need to submit to the will of God. And then we're going to be added by the Lord Himself into His spiritual body, the church He died for, the church that was purchased with His precious blood. That's the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. Once we've been added to the Lord's church, now we need to be faithful, even unto death, because we'll have the victory, Revelation 2:10. So again, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the precious gospel of Christ. And we do thank you so much for listening today.